Good morning, and a merry pre-Christmas to you. Welcome to all of you who are here so far. We are expecting more arrivals momentarily. Things are a little different this morning. Right now we're going to have a choir anthem, the last Advent music you'll hear for 11 months, and it's called The Advent Road. Join in singing carol number 415 in the red books, O Come All Ye Faithful.
No.
in the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to everyone. I'd also like to welcome the people who are working away in the church hall kitchen, getting things all ready for us so we can have our Christmas luncheon after church. So do keep them in your thoughts and prayers. They're serving us all. Let's join in our opening prayer. You'll find it on the first page of the order of service. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us and for the whole world. Thank you for being willing to leave your place of power and glory at your Father's side in order to humbly become one of us, born in a stable in Bethlehem. As we celebrate your coming, increase our faith and trust in you, and enable us to love and serve you with ever greater devotion and joy. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite the children to come up for our Advent candle lighting. This is the fourth Sunday in Advent, the season of waiting and expectation before Christmas, when we remember the long time there was when God's people were waiting for the fulfillment of his promises in Jesus Christ. They didn't know exactly what it would all look like, but they had some clues. And these remind us of how that brought light to the hearts of the people in those hundreds of years prior to Jesus' coming. And then tomorrow evening, I'm ahead of myself. Christmas Eve, Friday night, we'll light this candle, the Christ candle, reminding us of the fulfillment of those things in him. And it's time to sing our Advent song, the words of which are up there. We have a few very fancy instruments here. Anybody want this one? Anybody? No? We've got bells. Would you like those? Bells?
Can I do two?
You can have two blocks. Anybody else? There's somebody over there might want a little. Oh, you're welcome. Okay. So, it's six more days till he arrives. I sing one line and you sing it back. Are you ready? Six more days till he arrives. He who's filled and changed our lives. Okay, bells. Let the bells ring loud and clear. Let the children shout and cheer. Hooray! Let the children shout and cheer. Hooray! Let all kinds of drums be heard. Let all kinds of drums be heard. Let all people get the word. Let all people get the word. Let's clap our hands and slap our thighs. Raise our voices to the skies. Sing and play our lungs and drums till that special day becomes. Six more days till he arrives. He who's filled and changed our lives. Hallelujah. 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 Did you notice I gave some toys to the choir? They're having a great time up there. Wow. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming to the earth for us all, not only us, but for everyone who has ever been, is, and ever will be, to make possible our returning to our Creator, our Father, through you. And we know that when you walk this earth, there are many things that made you sad, for you saw the effects of sin and wrongdoing in the human race. And Lord, there are many things that make many sad, even around Christmas. People who are ill, people who've lost loved ones, people with difficulties and problems. Lord, help us not to be so focused on those, but rather on you and what you have done to bring us hope and the strength and courage and grace and comfort which you have come to offer us all and which you offer us in your presence with us. So we pray you would deepen our joys and lighten our burdens, not ours only, but those of people all over. And may the light and warmth of your presence, of Christmas, be with each one of us. We ask this in your name. Amen. Okay, time to return to your seats. And I believe it's time for another choir anthem. And now it's time for a short praise and worship time. Maybe this would be a good time to give the choir a hand for their work during this Advent Christmas season.
Time to hear your call.
Let's join now in prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, concluding with the Lord's Prayer. Let's join in prayer. The Bible teaches us, O Lord, that though it was wonderful that the wise men came from afar bearing gifts, what you really look for from us is our fitting response to what you have done for us. And what you ask for is the love of our hearts, an offering of worship to our King. Because it's true, as we have just sung, no one on earth deserves our praises but you. Whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, hallowed be your name. And we've just sung, Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. And we pray that you, O Lord, may receive the honor that you're due. The honor due you for loving the Father so much that you came in obedience to his plan. That you loved us so much that you gave up everything. Were even willing to be hated by human beings, the very ones you came to save. To experience the lowliest birth and the most excruciating death then known. All for the sake of your love for the human race and your desire to bring joy to your Father, and to see a way opened up for human beings to be reconciled with our Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. May we thank you by the way we live our lives, and by our priorities, and by bringing to you an offering of worship, the true love of our hearts, and giving of our whole selves over to you, receiving and appropriating in our lives daily that which you have done for us, and giving our relationship with you number one priority in our lives. For you've told us, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added to you. Everything else will be taken care of if we have that one priority right. Seeking first the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness. Thank you for those words of truth and promise. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together here today. There are many who are on our minds and hearts, and some have been mentioned. We bring one another before you, each of us with our cares. We commend them into your hands. We know that you hear and know our prayers even before they are on our lips, and even when we cannot put them into words. And so we trust ourselves and one another and all of those for whom we watch and pray, and all in particular need of you today, into your good hands, as we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught his disciples to pray in a manner like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. And now it's time for us to receive our offerings. And during the offering today, we have some special music provided by two young people in our congregation, one of whom looks amazingly like a biblical character. And they're going to play a couple of carols for us. as our offertory music. Abigail and Naomi. We thank you, O Lord, that you withhold no good thing from those who walk in your way. We thank you for your goodness. We pray that you would reveal to us the goodness which you've shown to us in our lives and given to us. And in response to your love, we offer these gifts. Freely we have received, and so freely we give of ourselves and of these signs of our love for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I understand that during the singing of this hymn, if it hasn't started already, adults from the congregation who are not yet in their costumes and getting into their roles need to do that during this hymn and then take their assigned places. And then we will have More Than a Story, our special Christmas presentation. Let's sing 420 from the hymn books. 420, Gentle Mary Laid Her Child.
Thank you.
Please be seated in the peace of our Lord.
John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it.
Nathan, is that really you?
Rachel, wow, you haven't changed a bit. I was hoping I'd see you here at the reunion.
It's good to see you too, Nathan. You look great.
Thanks. I can hardly believe it's been 30 years since we were students at Bethlehem High. Can you?
Hardly. Remember all the classes we had together? I had so much fun sitting behind you and keep sharing 101.
That's right. Remember when you shared Joshua's hair?
You weren't such a goody two Sandy's either, Nathan. I remember when the teachers discovered that a school mascot was no longer a white sheep. Somebody dyed it pink.
That was Simon's idea. I wasn't really involved.
You could say what you want, but I heard they caught you pink-handed.
Okay, maybe I wasn't involved a little.
Oh, look, here comes. Oh, what's his name again?
I can't remember.
He's not wearing a name tag.
What do we do?
Nathan, Rachel, you guys look great.
Wow, I can't believe it's you. You haven't changed a bit. How are you?
Yeah, how are you doing there, you?
It's me, Aaron, from astronomy class.
Of course, that's right, Aaron.
I knew your name all along, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing great.
We were just talking about some of our old classes.
Oh yeah, remember those nights we used to sit outside and watch Star Trek together?
Oh yeah, it was you and me and who else was there?
Abigail. I can't remember you. I can't believe we don't remember Abigail. I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't recognize her, though. Let me tell you, she has changed a lot since high school.
Really?
Oh, yeah, not just her looks. She's like a different person now. You can see for yourself. She's here tonight.
What kind of work does she do?
I think she's a shepherd.
Really? Did she take over family business?
Not right away. She went to a special shepherding school.
Really? Where did she go?
I think she went to Woodley College.
Wow, that's a great school. She must have done well on her SATs.
I think she did. Those shepherding aptitude tests are tricky.
That's impressive, but she failed just the shepherd, you know.
Yeah, shepherd life can be pretty boring.
Tell me about it. My brother-in-law is a shepherd, and when we get together, all he talks about is sheep, sheep, sheep.
Now, what do you expect? It's not like there are any noteworthy shepherds.
Of course there are.
Really? Name one.
There's David. Everybody remembers the stories of David.
Not fair. He's famous for being king, not for being a shepherd.
Okay. What about Noah?
Noah, he wasn't a shepherd.
Sure he was. Noah had at least tail shape.
Very funny, but you better stop all the shepherding bashing before. Here comes Abigail now.
Hi guys, how are you doing?
You look great. So do you, Abigail.
Really good to see you. What have you been up to?
I started the tent making company. It's called Tents Are Us.
Really? Residential or commercial?
Mostly residential. Our latest product is marked to Nomads. We call it Home in a Bag.
Abigail, we hear you're in the sheep business.
That's right. I really enjoy it. I get to spend a lot of time out there. And while I tend the sheep, I do a lot of reading.
What have you been reading? Anything good?
I recently read Purpose Driver's Journey.
Doesn't it take you 40 days to read it?
Yes, I think I've heard of that one.
I've been reading a lot of other things too, and I've been doing some thinking.
About shepherds?
Yeah, about shepherds and about sheep and pigs too.
What a combination. Do they have anything in common?
Yes, they do. I first noticed that when I was thinking about some things that happened and that people were praising me.
Look, there goes another caravan.
I'm so glad I'm not traveling.
It seems like there's something always going wrong when you travel these days.
Yeah, sometimes the caravan is canceled, then you have all that hassle of rescheduling.
What a nightmare.
You're right, and those caravans look so cramped, and there's no leg room in those things.
Yeah, they really cram people together.
Are you talking about our Egyptian masters cramming us together in work groups?
Hi, Muriel. We were just talking about what a hassle it is to travel these days.
My brother Moses has been traveling. He's back in Egypt now.
I didn't even know you had a brother.
Well, he was gone for a long time.
I remember now. Moses was raised by the Egyptian princess, wasn't he?
That's right. And then he killed an Egyptian who was beating one of our people.
Didn't he have to leave the country?
Yes, and we didn't hear from him for years.
It must have been a surprise to see him.
It was, but he's changed.
What do you mean?
Well, he isn't afraid of Pharaoh anymore.
No, why not?
He ran into a burning bush.
Wasn't he looking where he was going?
He didn't actually run into it. He was out in the desert watching sheep, and he saw a bush that was on fire. As he got closer, he noticed that the bush wasn't burning up. It just kept burning.
That's not possible. It has to burn up.
That's what Moses thought. So he got closer, and then he heard a voice coming out of the bush.
Who was talking?
It was God.
What did God say?
He said, "I have heard the cries of my people in Egypt."
Hey, that's us.
Yes. God also said that he was going to rescue us.
That's wonderful news. When is God going to do this?
I don't know, but I think it will be soon. There's something special about Moses now. He's not just speaking for himself. He seems to be speaking for God.
Wow. I wonder what he'll say to Pharaoh.
I don't know that either, but I think things are going to change for us and for our people sometime soon.
Maybe we'll get a chance to do some traveling after all.
Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses!" And Moses said, "Here I am."
So that's one of the things I've been thinking about while I tend the sheep. Israel badly needed to change, and they did change. This is more than just a story. God stepped into history, into our history, by bringing Moses to lead his people out of Egypt.
Sure, that's a great story, but what does this have to do with us today?
Yeah, Moses didn't go to Bethlehem High School, did he?
And I remember the rest of the story. Having freedom from slavery in Egypt, Egypt was great for a while, but then things went bad.
That's right. It wasn't long before the people started complaining and whining about stuff. They ended up doing 40 years in the wilderness.
But that was a good time.
It isn't much better today. It's like we're back in slavery now with the Romans here. These are nice stories, but we need more than that.
All of you are right, and that's why I'm telling this story now. But it isn't just a story. It's much more than that. I've got another example for you. Once when times were bad again, God called a little boy to bring his boat to all of Israel.
I tell you, Daniel, it was terrible. Hours and hours of,
are we there yet?
Yeah, I know. It's worse than being locked in a lion's den. I know. I get locked in one sometimes.
Did you know that people who travel with kids generally end up going an average of 10.2 miles per hour slower?
Now, who would spend time measuring that?
Hey, I'm just telling you what I've read. Micah, which route did you take?
We took Route 42 out of Jericho.
That was a mistake. Route 17 is much faster this time of the year.
Don't pay any attention to him.
What time did you come through Jericho? That might have made a difference.
I'm not sure what time it was. My sundial wasn't working properly.
I've heard that 37% of all sundials are defective within the first year.
Yeah.
I'm ready. You're really full of it today, aren't you? One useless statement after another.
I'm not. You know, if you read, you can learn things.
Well, I was just anxious to get home. Our youngest is always getting camel sick and needs to sit in the front.
That camel sickness can be tough. Route 17 would have been a smoother trip, and that might have helped.
Hey, enough of your advice today.
I know I can't stand it when my kids whine. Did your kids fight about who should get the front seat?
Yeah, especially the twins. By the time we got to the inn, I was so wound up, I could hardly stay awake.
You should stop for ice cream break at the Dromedary Queen. That's my favorite.
I'm just glad to be back, although I'm still not sleeping well.
Well, then maybe you can keep Samuel company.
You mean the kid who works in the temple?
He's the one.
Well, what's his deal?
Oh, I got missed that.
Wake up.
He hasn't been sleeping at night either.
The temple's right on that busy traffic route. Maybe that's keeping him up.
No, that's not it at all.
Maybe it's those new hoof protectors they're using on camels these days. Those can be pretty noisy.
No, it isn't anything like that. Samuel says God's been talking to him.
Is he dreaming?
Well, not according to what I've heard. Samuel was lying in bed when he heard a voice calling him, Samuel, Samuel.
Was Eli the priest calling him?
No, apparently not. Samuel ran and asked Eli if he'd called, but Eli said no.
So was it somebody else? Maybe it was the wind?
Yeah, right.
Well, Samuel couldn't find anybody, but this has happened three times.
The wind can do that sometimes, you know.
It wasn't the wind.
Maybe there was some thunder. You know, that low rumbling kind?
No, Joshua, that wasn't it. Just listen for a minute.
What did Samuel do?
He kept running to Eli. Finally, Eli told Samuel, if you hear the voice again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means God was speaking to Samuel.
Hey, that's pretty cool. What happened after that?
Well, Samuel wasn't the same after that. Sometimes it seemed like he was speaking for the Lord.
Somebody needs to speak to the Lord. Things aren't going so well for us right now.
Everyone seems to be doing whatever he thinks is right. No one seems to be in charge.
Well, he says we have forgotten about the Lord.
Well, what is Samuel saying?
Oh, did I miss another one? Oh, I didn't put my name in this one.
What is Samuel saying?
Okay, what's Samuel saying?
He said, no, that's you.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay.
He said that we've forgotten about the Lord.
He's right. We all just do what we feel like. We need to turn our hearts back to God.
Wow. Samuel really has become a prophet. I guess when you hear the voice of the Lord, it makes a difference.
Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his palace. The Lord came down and stood there calling in other tongues, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
Okay, this is all good, but I don't see where all your stories are going, Abigail.
Nathan said, "Sure, isn't a change in the past big deal? These are just stories from our history. What does that mean to us?"
"That's just it. This isn't just a story. God wanted to bring his people back to him. But through our history, that's just what he did. Remember all those things we learned about in history class?"
I actually do remember that. David and Solomon were good kings. Israel had some very wicked kings, and Judah didn't do a whole lot better.
That's true. Most of them were not very good. But there is at least one other king who listened to God, and he was just a boy when he took over the throne.
Welcome home, Jacob. We miss you. You've been gone for such a long time.
How long has it been? 20 years?
Oh, it's been about 20 years, and it was a long journey to get back here. But it feels good to be home.
How was the trip?
Well, it was fine, but my caravan broke down, and I had to get myself another camel. So I ended up having to lay over in Damascus.
Ah, Damascus. I remember it well. That was a nice little restaurant in Damascus, just the best locust I've ever tasted. It's called the International House of Locusts. Did you get a chance to eat there?
No, I didn't. I'm tired of eating locusts. And it was just a layover anyway.
What a bother. I hate waiting in camel ports.
And the food is always so expensive.
See, if you'd gone to my restaurant, you would have saved a lot of money.
Yeah, but I'm still tired of eating lotus. And they're not too appetizing. I suppose I shouldn't complain, though. If I'd been traveling and doing the holidays, I might have not got another camel.
That's exactly what I hear. I guess it's no surprise that lots of people travel for Passover.
It sure does clog up the camel pot, but you're feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm a bit tired, and aside from that, I'm okay.
Oh, Jacob, were you able to keep up on the kingdom news while you were gone?
Well, no news is good news, and I haven't heard from the kingdom for a long while.
So you haven't heard about King Josiah?
Oh, Josiah. Yeah, I thought Amon was king.
Wow, you have been gone for a long time. Aemon was king, but then he was killed by some of his officials.
Oh, 20 years, really? I didn't know that. That's murder. That's horrible.
Then the people revolt against the officials and had them killed. That's when Josiah was made king.
Josiah? He was just a child when I left. How old was he when he became king?
He was only 8 years old.
Wow, that's robbing the cradle. That's really young.
Yes, it is. But you know what? He turned out to be a better king than his father was, because Josiah followed in the ways of the Lord.
Yes, it was so nice. Things began to change when Josiah took over. He tore down the idols and the temples of the false gods. And then the Book of Law was finally found.
We finally found the Book of the Law from... that's wonderful. When he came, the Book of the Law came, and that was when he got Moses.
Yes, the Book of the Stories of Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all God's commandments, too.
That's the one. It was found inside the temple.
The priest brought it to Josiah, and he read it.
Well, that's a big deal, eh?
Well, because it isn't just a book. It's God's book. As soon as Josiah heard it, he knew that Judah hadn't been living the way God wanted us to.
So what did he do?
Josiah called all the people together, and the book was read to us so that we could hear the stories and commandments of the Lord. That was the first time some people had ever heard the book of Moses.
You could feel the presence of God as Josiah read the words of the book.
And, you know, Josiah had been a good king before, but something changed when he read the word of the Lord.
All of us changed when we heard the word of God.
From 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, verses 19 and 30 to 31. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, regulations, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book.
See, once again, God worked in his people to change the nation.
But it didn't last, did it?
You're right, Rachel, it didn't. Josiah was not a good king, but his son Jehoahaz was not. In fact, there were no more kings who followed the Lord after Josiah.
That's pretty depressing.
God changed the whole nation, but the people soon forgot about him again.
That's right. Just about every story from our history ends up with our people forgetting about God.
Isn't there any hope? It seems like no matter what we do, we end up forgetting about God.
There is a point to telling this story. There is hope, and it started out with some shepherds.
Really? Shepherds?
Yes, I was reading the Bethlehem Herald, and I read about this Rabbi Jesus. He's saying some amazing things, and he's healing people. He seems to be one who can change us for good.
What does that have to do with shepherds?
One of my shepherd friends was telling me about what happened to him many years ago, before I joined the team.
What happened?
These shepherds had a meeting with God.
Hey, Esther, do you have anything new to read?
I have the latest book from the Shepherd Book Club.
What's it called?
Chicken Soup for the Shepherding Soul.
I already read that.
Oh, you already read that. Okay. Well, I also have a newspaper. Would you like to see that?
No, thanks. I already read that, too.
Did you see my ad for the new tool I invented?
Another invention? What is it this time?
It's a special telescope for shepherds. You look through it, and you can see your sheep better. It's called a YouTube.
Wow. I could use one of those.
I was talking to some shepherds from over on the eastern slope. They saw something strange a couple of nights ago. Was that in the paper?
I didn't notice it. What happened?
They were out in the fields near Bethlehem, keeping watch over their flock. Then suddenly the sky opened up, and a whole bunch of angels appeared, saying, "Don't be afraid, we're here with good news."
What was the good news?
The good news was that the angels said that a baby had been born in a stable in Bethlehem.
The angels told them about a baby?
Yeah. The angels announced a baby's birth, but this isn't just any ordinary baby. This is the Messiah. He is Christ the Lord.
Really? What did the shepherds do?
Just as the angels said, they found a woman and her husband and a newborn baby. The baby was lying in the animal's feed box.
Oh, yeah, that's all it was? Just a baby?
Yes, just a baby. But there's something really special about all this.
What do you mean?
This special baby really is the Messiah. This is what we've been waiting for.
Do you think they really saw the Messiah?
Yes, I do. And so do the shepherds who saw him. If this really is the Messiah, then things will never be the same.
Luke chapter 2. Yeah, Luke 2. Chapter 8 to 16. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Abigail, what does that story have to do with that Rabbi Jesus you were talking about?
This baby who was born in the manger is the Rabbi Jesus. He's not just a great teacher. He is God's own son.
But won't we just end up forgetting about God again like all those old stories?
This time it's different. In our history, God revealed himself to certain people, like Moses and Samuel.
Like Elijah and Joshua.
Right, but in our history, God seemed to speak to us only through special people, great leaders of God.
But when Jesus was born, that all changed. Jesus is God's own son. He came here and he's actually living with us. That's different than just sending us a message.
So why does the birth of Jesus matter for us?
Jesus' birth means that God is actually here with us. That baby born in a stable is actually the world, the whole world, with what he says and with what he does. But more important than all, that is that God himself is here with us.
It's like a different kind of reunion. For all the times we've drifted away, we're finally back to God again.
Yeah, because of Jesus coming to earth, we can be reunited with God.
Yes, God is with us. That's pretty amazing.
This is much more than just a story.
Thank you.
Our closing hymn is 405, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night. Just before the benediction, I will say grace. Dear Lord, we thank you for one another and for all that has filled our hearts today and for your great and wonderful presence with us. We thank you for the food which is being and has been prepared by many hands, and we pray that you would bless it and our time of fellowship together. In Jesus' name, amen. Receive this blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all today and remain with you forevermore.